DJW Mobile.
WK4 VWA, did you get my text?
I'm at a stop sign. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. I just got to the house. Take me a few minutes to load, and I'll be right on.
I'll be unloading when you get there. I won't hold you up. K4 VWA, W4DJW.
Clear. TFW, how you doing, Dave?
K4 TFW, is that Ken?
Yep, Roger, it is. How you doing today?
Hey, Ken. I've been reading up on documentation and making adjustments and reading some more and making adjustments and trying to figure out auto-tune on an airplane or a flight controller. I think I got it figured out, but I don't know. I'm going to go find out and see what happens. Are you on your way home from work?
Normally, I'm out here on 85.
Is it bad out there?
No, traffic's moving pretty good. Yesterday, there was a truck rolled over right there at 29 and 85. He rolled over on 29, so it had it blocked up for a minute or two. But today looks pretty good.
Good luck getting through there. But I'm like single today and tomorrow. My wife had to go to Washington, so I can go out to the airfield when it's late in the day. It took me forever to get where I was ready to go. And then I built a little sunshade for the computer because you can't see in the sun. I don't know if you've ever tried to look at a computer screen in the sun. It just doesn't work. So I built me a little black box to put it in. So hopefully I'll be able to see what's going on.
What physical size are those airplanes that you're flying?
Range from something that's got a foot to a foot and a half to something that's got 6 to 8 foot wingspan. And that's just a piece of it. There's some that are much smaller wingspan, right? Some that are like 2 or 3 inches, and there's some that are 30 feet, 40 feet wingspan. So some of them are bigger than some of the full-scale airplanes, but the ones I have are kind of the norm. Then they're in the middle range.
A friend I used to work with, he moved to Tennessee now, but he flies those things, and he loves that. And I saw where he sold one of his, and the kid standing next to it, it's probably at least 8 foot long and got a 6 or 8 foot wingspan. Looked pretty cool.
You tend to have really long wingspan and narrow cord, a long span and a narrow cord to cut down on drag to maximize lift so that when they get in the thermal, they can go up as high as possible. That's their goal. And then there's others, like replicas of days gone by, World War I, World War II, or civilian airplanes, either one. So there's just all kinds out there. If it flies, there's probably a model of it.
Got now looks like some kind of Air Force type jet, but he used to remote control fly a bunch of helicopters and stuff like that. He's pretty good at it from what I hear.
For a long time there, for a while, I got off on a tangent. And I was up at Lake Robinson one day, and I do figure eights around my body. That probably wasn't a good idea. I had a 5 foot rotor disc, a 5 foot across the rotor disc. So, and there were pictures of them that size where, when I quit, was right after somebody was flying one in the Atlanta Stadium. I don't know, it's in the news. You might have heard about it, but he's flying in the Atlanta Stadium, and he hit a woman's arm with that 5 foot rotor disc, and it took her arm off. And I had been flying in the winter, and I had on one of those jumpsuits, the full body jumpsuits that kept you warm in the winter. And I was doing figure eights past me, and I came past my shirt sleeve, and I left a blue stripe and a red stripe on my shirt sleeve on that jumpsuit. And that's when I figured, you know, I'm getting just a little bit too comfortable with this thing.
Now to fly it upside down and loop to loops.
At 570s, that's where you go up and you do like a stall turn, except instead of doing a stall turn, you spin it around its axis about 5 times, and then you come down the other side. Like airplanes go up, they'll point the nose straight up, cut the throttle, and then when it stops moving, going straight up, they'll kick the rudder all the way to one side and turn the full throttle, and that air blast over that rudder will pivot that airplane on the center of gravity so that it's not pointing nose up, it's pointing nose down. And then they come down barreling out of that that turn. And you can do the same thing on a helicopter, except you can spin it around that axis about 5 or 6 times. It's a lot of fun. Loops and rolls and you name it. You can do it with a helicopter.
Hand coordination isn't all of that to be able to do that for sure.
That's the thing. That's one of the things that turned me off about helicopters, too, is you spend 10 times more time on building and maintenance than you do flying. They just take a ton of maintenance. They might be better nowadays. I remember when I was flying 5 years ago, I tried to get back into it while I was between jobs, and had a buddy that worked at BMW that he was really big into helicopters, and he's showing me one that was his design. He designed and built it, and it ran off a belt instead of off of gears, and it was much more efficient. Belts transfer energy with less loss than other mechanisms like gears or tubes with gears on the ends, torque tubes, that kind of thing. The belt is the most efficient method. So he was showing me his, and I think they got it down to where maintenance wasn't near as much as it was when I was doing it, but still is quite a bit of maintenance.
Yeah, on one of my Facebook things, they have a 3/4 scale a remote control airplane. It's like, man, that looks like if you ever crashed it or something, you'd be out some big bucks.
Remember the 18th up here at Foothills where I'm headed. He was flying his jet. He is anywhere between 16,000 and 20,000, somewhere between there. Who knows? you don't keep track of every penny you spend on one. But he had like that much in it, you know, somewhat south of 20K. And he augured it in. He had a flame out and couldn't make it back to the field, and it went down. And he might as well have considered it a total loss because he wasn't putting parts back on it to fly it again, that he didn't know if they were the cause of that crash. So that's the thing you got to think of. That's what limits my spending on them, is you got to know that when you take off, they're coming down. One way or another, they're coming down. And it's not always the way you planned for it, for them to come down. So if you're not comfortable with that, don't build it. So he had to be, in my opinion, he had to be comfortable with throwing away 20K before he made that kind of investment. Or if he didn't, he's thinking about it now.
Be comfortable with that.
Me either. There's some people that are. I imagine Bill Gates wouldn't bat an eye at it. But I'm not Bill Gates. W4DJW.
KN4TFW. Yeah, I'm not neither. So it's like I think of a lot of other things I'd rather spend that money on than that.
Little things. I can spend 1/20th of that or less, or 1/50th of that and still be satisfied. That's the thing about learning. It doesn't cost near as much to learn as it does to, like, replicate something that, like he had replicated. That costs a whole lot more if you want to replicate it to the nth degree than learning, for example, how autonomics works with airplanes.
Two hobbies that can be really cost you, radio and remote control.
I enjoy it a lot. I always have, since I was 6 years old, when my dad took me out to the airfield the first time, Western Carolina Radio Club. And I was looking at those airplanes out there on that runway, and I was looking at them again, I was looking at them again. I got it in my head I owned all of those airplanes. And when it was time to leave, I pitched a fit. And I've been that same way about airplanes ever since then.
For real?
Yeah, I soloed. I got my pilot. Well, I was getting my pilot's license, and I got to a point to where I could fly by myself, and I was racking up cross-country hours. And I think that was the point in time I had to leave the country and live outside of the country for a few years. And I promised myself when I came back I was going to finish. Never happened. But it was to the point where it was kind of boring. Racking up hours going cross-country, it costs you a bunch, and it's kind of like my friend James that worked at Michelin with me. He was a navigator on one of those B-52s during the war. He was old way back then when I was like just fresh out of a teenager. He was at my age then that I am now. But he used to tell me what it was like because he knew I loved flying. So he'd talk to me about his flying experiences, and the way he sums it up was it's hours, the full-scale flying stuff is hours and hours of boredom interrupted by brief moments of stark terror. That's a pretty good description.
Comment. KI4DTY. This is Daniel. Yeah, my grandpa was a pilot. He flew experimental airplanes, and he loved it. And one of the things I remember was he had a big farm, and he'd take off from that field. But he loved to fly. But he was actually building a plane for years.
Kind of like the engineer saying, "Yeah, it'll work. Try it."
Yeah, those guys had a lot of guts. They usually didn't live to be ripe old age, but some of them did, I guess. But they had to know a lot about aviation and aeronautics and all kinds of things in order to get it right. To get the right decision. Yeah, I will test fly that, or no, I won't.
And if they couldn't get anybody to test out the plane, they knew that Yop, my grandpa, would test the plane because he was crazy and he'd fly or drive anything.
He lived a good age if he's still alive during that time. I got to hop out and unlock the gate. Go ahead, Ken, pick it up. That'd be 4DJW.
Come into that untested stuff right now.
My grandpa passed away about 2 years ago now, and he passed away at 87, so he did live a good amount of time. He was building a new plane, and he didn't get to fly yet, though, but I know that was his hope, but it just didn't work out that way.
Doing what he loved to do, right?
He was a carpenter, too, so he enjoyed building stuff, and like I said, building those planes and stuff and flying them. But, he definitely enjoyed life.
Okay.
I was in the truck, and I'm headed over to my buddy's house. He's trying to move a bunch of furniture, and apparently I'm on that list to help him move furniture today. So it sounds like it's going to be fun, but we'll see what happens.
Be careful and don't think that you're younger than you actually are.
No, I'm not. But I've always helped them do stuff, so it's not a big deal. But what you up to?
Yep, just headed back to the house from work. And I'm almost in the Greer now.
Fine, what was it?
4TFW. Yeah, it's Ken.
This is KI4DTY Daniel, but no, I didn't mean to interrupt y'all's conversation. I just heard you guys talking about planes and made me think about my grandpa. I actually fly drones. I don't do the remote airplanes like Dave does, but I do drone stuff for like corporate and weddings and real estate, stuff like that.
That's a little bit of that stuff too, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, I never actually got to talk to Dave about his plane stuff, but yeah, I think he does do some drone stuff as well.
Hey, Greer, didn't you say you had relatives over in Greer?
My parents live over in Greer now. I'm over in Taylor's, and you're in Taylor's, aren't you? That again? I think you told me last time.
A plant called Lubrizol up in Spartanburg.
Somebody, I had talked to someone a couple weeks ago, and they worked with Charter. I thought maybe that's where you worked.
The spare parts guy. And that right now, that's starting to be a hard job to live up to.
Yep, at this point, would not want to be in your field. Of course, I'm a videographer and photographer, and I sent a camera off about 3 weeks ago to be fixed, and I'm
what they call a high-end professional, and so Canon actually puts me on their preferred list. And they still cannot get parts to fix my camera.
Yeah, stuff that you used to get in a couple of days is now, you know, a month or 6 weeks and that, and then some things they can't tell you when they'll have it.
Especially if it's made in China, KI4LCI.
You're definitely right about that.
Canon products, so I mean, 99% of that stuff is all China made anyways at this point, but I think Canon is, I think it may be manufactured in Japan. Yeah, it is manufactured in Japan, but yeah, they cannot, even though it's a brand new camera, still under warranty and all, they cannot get the parts for it.
I hope you don't have to need it in your profession anytime soon, being that it's going to be something else to get the parts for.
I need it for this Saturday. I have a wedding at Biltmore this Saturday, and I have another one Charlotte next Saturday, and I already sent back the rental gear because they told me it would be in my hands by Friday, and then they told me today that was not true, so now I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do.
Guy that used to be in photography pretty much makes these. Living at it's called ND7J Bob up in Edneyville. He'd been doing that till last year, but due to all this COVID business, he had to give up doing it and go to doing other kinds of work.
Radio gown here. I think he's in Taylor's too. His name is Jimmy. I don't remember his call sign right now. If you're on, Jimmy, speak up, but he does photography too.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to butt in, but I heard y'all talking about parks, and it seems like everything about it comes from over there right now.
Right, KN4TFW. And I got a old Canon AE1. You ever used one of those?
An oil Canon what?
It's a Canon Alpha Echo 1.
Talking about? Nope, I've never used one. How long have you had it?
1983.
That's a film camera. I don't use Canon a lot for photo. I use Canon for video. We use Sony for all of our photography stuff.
You take a few little wildlife pictures and that on the side and that, and tried to learn a little bit about it, you know, to be able to use the 35mm, but now everything's pretty much digital now, and now, heck, you can get about as good a picture on your camera or phone.
In 3 years, they have improved digital side. Now we can take pictures that are pretty much can be blown up to billboard size, which I've actually done a few of those for billboards. And yeah, it's crazy the quality you can get from the digital side now. But I tell you what, those film cameras, analog, I mean, they're still nothing to balk at, and they still produce some pretty images.
Getting out in several years now.
KI4LCI. Bob Mutton Antonyville, he used to do big time photography from horse shows to the here at the race car tracks and all, but when this COVID come along, he just had to hang it up. He's a big DXer on HF. You take and look him up. What was it? He's in the South Carolina DX Association. He is.
Wow, but I'm at my first stop over here. I got to run an errand, so I'm going to be stepping out of the truck for a second. This is KI4DTY. I'll be on the side, guys.
Hey, Daniel, and that, I'm almost to my destination anyway, so I'll be off of here in just a minute, too. KN4TFW.
Tune on and heard y'all in here and heard y'all talking about the parts. and it reminded me over there in the Pacific. KI4LCI.
Join us anytime.
WHM monitoring.
AY mobile. Hey, Patrick, how's it going?
Daniel, how are you?
I only have a second in the truck. I'm headed to help somebody move some furniture, but I'm doing good. Where are you at? You headed home?
I am, but I have to make one stop on the way home.
Where at?
Up in, above Traveler's Rest at one of my customers on another day.
For your help, getting me to my location in Asheville, you totally saved my butt because I would not have made it on time. Even though I left early, that traffic was horrible.
Construction up there on 26, it's better to avoid it at all costs and just go around it.
Compact car that had rear-ended a truck. The compact car became a super compact car, and the truck barely had a scratch on it.
What about right for that area?
You got the whole road, so they weren't letting anybody by. It was no police, just the actual people in the car. But yeah, thank you very much for saving my butt there. I'm enjoying this little bit of cooler weather.
But it's supposed to cool down even more this weekend and the first part of next week.
It's supposed to be 80 again, but yeah, the weekend is supposed to be nice and cool. I'll be at the Biltmore again, and it's supposed to be 63 degrees, which I am not complaining because I've been dying all dressed up.
And right there on the river, it'll be really cool.
Hope for a little bit of rain, but hopefully that'll end pretty early in the day and won't mess with us too much. But yeah, 63, so kind of looking forward to that. That'll be nice.
And I think Monday morning it's supposed to be down in the low 40s.
Wow, so that's going to be nice. Definitely have the windows open then. That'd be some nice weather. So probably, is that for you where you're at or even for us?
That's where I'm at.
A good time. I went up Tuesday or Monday to see Chad on his little camping hunting camp there. If I could form words here, but I had a good time. I wish you could have been good. I wish you could have been there. That would have been a good time.
Maybe next time, but we're all planning to go the 13th of November. If you're welcome to come, I will make our group text so we can all discuss it.
What's going on? I think that's a Saturday, right?
Correct.
Now, unfortunately, work most Saturdays, so I'll have to just see. I don't know what I have going on.
Won't be working that one, or if you are, it's early or late, so you can make it.
Yeah, so missed the other day. Did you ever find out what happened with Steve?
He got busy just like I thought with his list. He is working on it and just forgot to call and let me know. But he's all right.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was actually going to try to make it back, but me and Chad just got to talking, and before I knew it, I think you called me at 6:45. So I was like, dang, it's already 6:45.
Time flies, we having fun. Did you take your boys up there with you?
Me and Chad, I just been working, and I just wanted to kind of get out of the house. They had school, so I just was trying to get out of the house for a little while, and it was already a late start for me that day trying to get everything situated. I didn't even go to bed until I was up from Saturday morning until Sunday night. I think I slept like an hour. That was about it.
a head on your head.
You saw me. I already got a head full of it, so I started turning gray when I was 18.
Hey, young, but when I did, mine went quick.
A picture of me in 2019, you'd be surprised at how 2020 made me super, super gray here.
Stressful, do that for sure.
You were gray? I'm gray, but I didn't think you were gray.
Mine's just about all white now.
Yep. Chandler's good then, because Chad didn't have a lot of gray hair. He must not deal with a lot of stress.
JP4 CPA Mobile.
Hey, Dave. If Chad keeps spending time out trying to buy stuff, he'll be gray before long. He was stressed out today trying to find some hydraulic fittings for the hoses he needs.
Didn't know that. I haven't been on the radio at all today, so I was going to hop on for at least a few minutes.
Just going to say hello and y'all carry on. I'm headed to play tennis. I'm sure that's a shocker to everybody.
I'm actually at my next stop, so I'll catch up with you later, Patrick. Have a safe trip.
7-3, Daniel. Don't hurt your back in there. Take care. KO4 HKX. And Dave, I'll be around for a little bit if you want to talk.
KI4 DTY 73. Have a great one.
73s. Patrick. So, are you still working, or are you headed to the house?
I'm home, but I do have to make one more stop on Monday's route. A guy needed something, so it's on my way home, so I'm going to swing by and drop it off.
You might pick you up a big sale there or something. You know, somebody might need something. And they just can't wait for it.
Look, it'd be on back order, and I'd never be able to get it.
Thought about that. So you're having problems getting some tools?
And most all tools, no matter where they're made, even in the U.S.
I heard that there were, it was either 60 or 80,000 trucker positions that were open right now. Man, that's a lot of trucks sitting around.
It's that many, but I heard the number was bigger, but you never know. And, truckers are a shortage, shipping containers are a shortage, people that actually show up for work and do their job. And then you got regulations where they can't do this and can't do that. And I mean, it's just a nightmare. Even like a toolbox, if I order a toolbox today, it will not be here until after the first of the year, probably mid-February.
Real. So no Merry Christmas for them, huh?
I mean, it's everything. Wrenches, screwdrivers. Your basic stuff is now disappearing where we can't get it.
That makes sense. It's kind of scary because, you think about stuff like, basic essentials like food, getting to the, I just passed a police car going 10 over, but I guess he didn't want none of that. So anyway, if we start having that problem with food, then, the crime rate's going to really go up.
And if you go into grocery stores or Walmart or anywhere like that that sells food, you'll notice the shelves are not full.
Like when something gets shipped in, it's like, the shelf just gets picked empty in a hurry, especially for that one item. And then it takes them, you know, I've seen the one over here at Taylor's, I've seen it take 3 months for them to restock the shelf with some products. And the reason I notice is because it's stuff that I use.
Everybody's starting to feel that pinch, and then diesel fuel prices keep going up. You're going to feel even more because that affects everything shipping-wise.
I heard gas and fuel, gas and diesel were going up, and so anyway, just more fun than a barrel of monkeys.
Move on to something else. We got another subject to talk about. Hey, do you know anything about the super antenna that you can get? It's a multi-band HF antenna.
Say your last again.
Have you used or do you know anything about the super antenna is what it's called, I believe?
Super loop.
It's just a regular vertical that's adjustable, and you can deploy it for like SOTA and POTA.
Can mobile HF or what?
It does from 80 to 6 meter.
You talking about mobile or stationary?
Well, you can use it for SOTA and POTA, like Parks on the Air, Summits on the Air, that kind of thing.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what that is. Well, it sounds to me, I mean, I know a screwdriver will do that. If you want to put something like that on your vehicle, it's a good antenna for HF. You know, and then Mosley. If you want a nice beam, Mosley makes one, and you don't even really need a tuner for it.
Something that I can take with me on the go, but not put on a vehicle, is what I was looking for.
The ultimate portable. Golly, really not. I'm not gonna be able to help you much with that one.
Thought I'd ask.
Looking at amplifiers, I want to get about a 800 watt amplifier, and I'll have to buy a separate tuner since I'm using the Carolina Wyndham. I have to have a, even though my radio has a tuner, built-in tuner, the tuner's got to be after the amp, so I have to have a separate tuner as well. So, you know, I'm going to be spending probably, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $200 to $2,500. But, you know, I just want one.
ND7J.
Hey, Bob.
What are you looking at?
I don't know, a Meritron. I really like I like the way they look, and I've seen Tom's, and in fact I've seen it in action. He's got a, I think his is either 1,000 or 15. I can't remember. I think it's 15, but anyway, I might be wrong about that. It wouldn't be the first time.
And just FYI, makes a ALS 600, which when you have a tube amp, okay, you have to tune the antenna and you have to tune the amp. Tom's got an ALS 1200, so he's got to tune the amp, which is easy to do. It's got dials on it. You tune the amp, and then it's got a tuner to tune the antenna. There's an ALS 600, which is an auto-tune amp. Not to say that it will tune the antenna. You just change from band to band to band, and you don't have to tune the amp. You still have to tune the antenna. That's an ALS 600. The ALS 1200 that Tom has, you have to tune the amp and the antenna, and you need a separate tuner which is always the last piece of equipment in the equation, amplifier, tuner, antenna. And then you will need a tuner that will handle the power of that amp. So if you've got a 1200 watt amp, you need a tuner that will handle 1200 watts.
KB4CBA. The one that you're talking about that's an auto-tune amp, is it, how many watts is it? The Miratron that you're talking about, this auto-tune, how many watts does it put out?
The ALS-600 is a 600-watt amplifier. They usually run about $1,000. You can buy them used or new. I think they're running about $1,000 used. I don't know what the price for the new one is. And that eliminates tuning the amp, which is a nice thing. It's auto. All you got to do is flip the switch to change from 17 to 20 to whatever. If you have an amp like Tom's, which is a bigger amp, you have to tune the amp, and then you have to tune the antenna. And there's a process that you go to in order to achieve that. There are some other amplifiers out there that are, now the ALS-600 is auto, it's, as soon as you start it up, it's on, it's ready to go, there's no waiting period. The 1200 watt, the one that Tom has, you got to wait for it to warm up. Not a big deal, but just some things to consider. But there are some amps out there that have, that do everything. Auto-tune, they do the band changes, it does the tuning, does everything for you. But again, there's money involved, you know.
Dang, Pop, there's always money involved. Go ahead, Patrick.
Guys, I'm just listening, taking in what y'all are talking about. But I'm pulling into my last stop here, so I'm going to run in. I'll say 7-3 is Bob. Dave, y'all have a good afternoon. If you're still here when I come back out, I'll give you a shout. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear.
Contact.
Good to hear you, Patrick. Go ahead, contact.
Yeah, Dave, this is K4OIM, Walt, up here at Lake Bowen. I've got a like new MFJ 962D roller inductor tuner. I've never run over 100 watts through it, and it's rated at full legal limit, 1.5K. And I've got the manual to it and all, and I'm never going to buy an amp. And I've got it listed on the swap net for $200, and it don't have a scratch on it, Dave.
Hey, Dave, you better jump on that right now.
Just go ahead and give him my credit card information over the air. Oh, me. Well, okay, so then that means I can buy my 800-watt amp and use that tuner. Well, that sounds like a good deal. I may have to take you up on that. But anyway, at the moment, I'm headed to play tennis, so I won't be able to contact you. But anyway, I'll get your email and offer QRZ and contact you about that. What's your call again?
Kilowatt 4, Oscar India Mike. And you know you were teasing me the other day about getting my 80-meter antenna up, my dipole raised, and said, ought to check into the sideband net. I checked in night before last, and I got the certificate for being the 1500th check-in for the 18th annual award day.
I heard that. I thought if anybody deserves that's you. You worked to get your antenna up, and there you go. And you get an award for it. So that's the way it goes. That's great, man. I'm sure I remember listening. I wasn't listening. I was checking in myself. But anyway, I heard him talking about that.
Tuner, I got a Cushcraft A3 tri-band, 10, 15, 20 meter beam that I done some trading on. I probably got $500 in that beam, and with my help getting the way it is, I'm never going to get that thing up. And I've got it listed on there for $200, and that thing sells new through MFJ for almost $800 now. And I've got a brand new rebuilt CDE 44 rotator with 85 feet of cable and the control box to go with it. I was offering to sell both of them for $500, but I might take $400 for the antenna, for the beam, and the rotator and control box and 85 feet of cable.
So, Walt, if I didn't live in HOA, I would take you up on that in a heartbeat, I tell you. They probably have something to say about that. That's why I use a Carolina Windham, because it's up in the trees and they can't see it.
I'm trying to look at my computer and everything's all blurry. I went today and had that laser eye surgery done on my left eye. I've been putting that off and putting it off, and N0TR Tommy, he kind of coached me along on it. And man, that thing there was nothing to it. The only pain I felt was when they put the IV in my arm. As far as my eye, I did not feel a thing. And I cannot believe how bright the colors and all are now, with everything still blurry in that one eye. But man, I thank God that Tom talked me into doing that. Man, I'd recommend that to anybody. I've got to go back November the 3rd and get the right eye done. And man, it was a breeze. I couldn't believe how painless it was, Dave. This is K4OIM. I see my daughter pulling in up there, so I'm going to have to say 7-3s now. Might catch you on the side bayonet if you get back from playing tennis in time.
Well, unfortunately, I will not. I'll be playing till 7:30, and it'll be close to 8:00 before I get home. But anyway, but good to talk to you, and enjoy your visit there with your daughter, and go ahead there, Bob. Bob bailed out, so I'm going to bail out if anybody's listening, because I am between the white lines here and at the sports club, 73s to all, KB4CBA clear.